Item number 10, subdivision and rezoning, southeast corner of Ravelston Avenue West and Pegua Street.
Right. Now, each of these has to be done separately again, is that?
Legal services advice, we have to hear them separately.
Gotta love lawyers. Who's got some lawyer jokes?
Just kidding.
Call forward the applicant, Dave Bowles, accompanied by Jerry Klein, / Vanna White. Good job. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dave Bowles of 320 530 Keniston Boulevard.
And Jerry Klein, Gen Star as well, same address. Dave Bowles will be quarterbacking this presentation on behalf of Gen Star, and I'll be available to answer any questions or add any other comments that might be required.
Okay, so thanks and good evening, Mr. Chair. Maybe first I'll just clarify that we're going to go through these one by one then? Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, no, that's fine. So we're starting with DAS at 10 of 13. What I've done, similar to what we did last time we were here last month, I provided the committee members with a package that includes an ACG report with our proposed changes to the report. Additions that we're proposing shown in red bold and deletions shown in red strike through. There's also some supporting material that's attached to the back of each application that I'll address as I make my presentation. So basically what you see on the board in front of you, and there is also a page attached to the very back of your package that shows our conceptual plan. What we're looking at first is our southerly community that we're naming, or phase one as it's shown on your application, 10 of 13, which we're naming Devonshire Village. It's a mixed density community comprised of park space, medium density multifamily parcels, townhome and duplex parcels, a mixed use site adjacent to the future rapid transit station, a small commercial parcel, and both laned and front drive single family lots. We held a public open house on February 27th of 2013. That was quite well attended in the community at the Transcona Canad Inns. Prior to doing that, we mailed specifically to residents of Elmy and Ravelston the notice that we also placed in the newspaper in both the Winnipeg Free Press and the local community newspaper for 2 weeks leading up to the open house. The community has been planned in keeping with the requirements of the Transcona West Area Structure Plan, we have 210 single-family lots in this phase or in this application, just about 20 acres of multifamily, for townhome parcels it would yield approximately about 100 to 120 units in terms of the numbers that we have. So I'll get into the DASZ report. And just jump right in. On the first page, A1 plan considerations, we simply want to add the term if required to the end of that clause just to determine that if there are corner cuts required in plan revisions that we'll only provide them if they're required, and that can be determined by our engineers and in conjunction with the city. Number four, again, we're proposing to add a statement to the end of this clause that reads, any cost for oversizing or providing additional works to provide land drainage and stormwater retention capacity for adjacent land shall be recovered by the city and paid to the developer. That's simply to ensure that if we're oversizing our pond, which we are proposing to do for our southerly lands, that we are in fact going to be compensated for it. C10, again, we're proposing to add a clause to the end of this statement, just clarifying that we're not required to build the streets that actually lead to the future potential rapid transit station. So again, the clause reads, the developer shall not be required to construct the portion of the streets on the north and south sides of the RMU site east of the north-south public roads leading to the future rapid transit station. We had spoken to the Winnipeg Transit about this. They were in agreement, again, because the transit station is not necessarily a given at this point. So clause number C11 on the same page. Again, we've added a clause to the end of this statement. This is the statement or the clause that would oblige us to build a temporary asphalt surface on Reinders. And we've added a clause that reads, if a permanent concrete road is constructed by others or there is a commitment to construct a permanent concrete road on Reinders Drive by others under a different DASZ application prior to commencement of works within the DASZ 10 to 13 planned area, the temporary asphalt roadway will not be required. C12. On the next page, this is a clause that obliges us to build the lanes of Ravelston Avenue adjacent to our land, but it's silent on the lands as they extend further east beyond the deep pond, the city's property. So we've added a clause again that will build it. And would receive payment within 1 year of its completion, paid in full back to the developer. So, we're deleting a clause, proposing to delete a clause that would otherwise have required an asphalt transition to the existing sort of gravel surface that's there right now. C13, simply want to add a statement on the beginning on the second line that clarifies that we're responsible to build the easterly two lanes of Pegwa Street. Right now it doesn't differentiate. Clause 15, if you refer to the map schedule that's attached to the back of your 10 of 13 package, what we're proposing is we can actually eliminate the next approximately seven clauses, 15 through 21, with this single map schedule that will indicate exactly where the sidewalks should be built. These clauses are the clauses that are attempting to describe verbally where the sidewalks are. It's very confusing because there's no street names. So we're proposing to replace it with a single map schedule. A lot of this too, I should clarify. Because we were adjourned, I was able to talk to the public service about some of this, and they were generally in agreement with some of what we've talked about here. So. Again, in 22, we want to be sure that it's clear what works may have to be built by the developer in terms of transition lanes, median openings, those sorts of things that may be required as a result of our development. So we're proposing that again, in as part of our negotiation of the development agreement, there'd be a schedule that would be provided that would be attached to the agreement indicating exactly what would be responsibility of GenStar. So that's the proposal there. On number 23, a similar clause speaking to developers' obligations on at intersections with median openings, those sorts of things, left turn lanes. This one relates directly to Reinders Drive, which there really should actually be zero obligations to us, so we're proposing that it be deleted. C26, just clarifying that the chain link fence that currently delineates the active transportation or our land, I suppose, and all that's there is an active transportation as it abuts the central Manitoba Pine Falls subdivision, we'll only be obliged to build a fence where one does not already exist. Clause C39 on the next page. We want to replace landscape and construct paths on the third line with grade level sod so that it's consistent with what the development agreement parameters actually require of us. C41 on the next page. This clause refers to the amount of credit that will be given to us for park dedication in sloped areas adjacent to retention ponds. So it had read partial. We're proposing that we get 75%, and then the additional piece that we've added beginning on the second line between the normal watermark and the top of the 7-1 slope adjacent to the retention ponds is simply to clarify that the sloped area should only really include that portion that is actually adjacent to the retention pond, because otherwise there's good usable space in those parks. They're very popular, our market research has indicated. So C43, this is a clause that had read that the city's not going to compensate the developer for additional serviced frontage, which is a provision in the development agreement parameters. So we've reworded it to suggest that, in fact, we should be credited. Any under dedication, it'll be credited against under dedication for public reserve land or excess amenities or irrigation constructed in the parks that go above and beyond our standard obligations. C45, this is a clause that actually would specifically oblige us to provide, I guess it's cash or some sort of compensation in lieu of irrigation, which is a development agreement or a development agreement parameters obligation. We're suggesting here, and I'll just read the clause, what we're striking out the sort of the cash in lieu requirement and rewriting that the developer shall provide irrigation or water service to the public reserve if required. If irrigation is not required in the public reserve space located at the south end of the planned area, in lieu of irrigation, the developer shall pay costs to establish a dog park in the public reserve, complete with a chain link fence to delineate the area. The size, configuration, and location of the dog park shall be to the satisfaction of the director of planning, property, and development. And we're proposing this because, again, our indications in the area are that it's something that's lacking and that it's something that that would be well received by the local population. C46 on the first line, we're simply asking to add and clarify that we want to see a continuous black chain link fence. Previously, it hadn't included the black chain link that we've added, which is pretty much an industry standard, again, as we heard earlier in the evening. And C50, we've added on the first line securities for public reserve improvements shall not be released in full, and in brackets, partial releases may be permitted until final acceptance has been issued, et cetera, on that. That's, again, just to clarify that that partial releases of the securities we post will be allowed. So some clarification matters, and that's effectively it for 10 of 13, unless Jerry's got something else to add. So, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of the applicant here at this time?
No, I just want to make, before we hear other delegations, that one of the big issues here that you touched on, but you kind of did briefly, was already spelt out actually in the development agreement by the city, and that you're agreeable to, which is the developer shall at no expense, number 11, the developer shall at no expense to the city construct two lanes of temporary asphalt pavement roadway in Reindeer's Drive, right away between the existing terminus of Reindeer's Drive of Stapon Road and Pagua Street, as determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works, and which was spoken of at the last meeting, but that the so-called temporary, the word temporary is really is misleading, but it means based on what the city's definition of temporary is, it's an asphalt roadway similar to the asphalt roadway with the permanent curbs and permanent concrete gutters that you see today in Reindeer's that's presently there, mm-hmm. north of the shopping mall.
Correct.
So,
yeah, designed and drawn by engineers, and yeah, absolutely, yep.
Okay, so that, yep. And this is being required to be done in your first phase, which is what you're speaking to today, which is we have to hear them separately. You have three applications, mm-hmm. the first phase being that which is south of the gravel road, Ravelston Avenue West, mm-hmm. and west or east of Peguis.
Yep.
Correct?
So, yep, okay. Correct.
Yeah, that's. I just wanted to make that clear. So, thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
No other questions?
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As the applicant, you'll have an opportunity to come back afterwards, and thank you. Vic Jansen. Vic? Nathan Jansen. Nope. Mark Brown. Very good. Thank you. You don't wish to speak? All right. Anybody whose name that's not been called that wishes to speak in support of the application? In support of the application? Christine Piotrowski. Following Christine, if you want to start coming down, Peter and Judy Pishnovac. You'll be following Christine.
Good evening. My name is Christine Petrowski. I live at 360 Elmay Avenue. I have a request that maybe it makes more sense for issues that were carried over from one community committee meeting to another that they be addressed first. Otherwise, we're sitting here till the end, till 10 o'clock. I've got a 94-year-old mother who's waiting up for me so she can go to bed. So I'm a little uptight. I'm opposing the development on the basis that we are creating what used to be a country living in the city with large residential lots into a high density residential area that is with compact development. My main concern with all of this, and it's related to the Elmay closure, is the traffic. And in reading all the proposed developments, just in the single family lots, we have 104 in the DASZ 1111 development, that North Star. There's 210 in this development, 675 in the following, and then 500 in the third part. So in total, there's 489 single-family lots. That doesn't take into consideration the duplexes, the multifamily blocks, and areas for commercial parking. Also, there's no consideration for cars going to Costco, the shopping center, the casino, and the traffic that used to go to Transcona. In reading all of these reports, there is no mention of traffic studies. And the biggest problem with that is that you run into situations like we have with our new stadium, where I don't believe traffic studies were done. Otherwise, you wouldn't have people complaining that they missed half the Bomber game because they were caught up in traffic. They couldn't get there, or they had to walk, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with all these developments, the big blocks, the single families, have we done an actual study to see the impact? It looks like Chief Peguis, or not Chief Peguis, but the Peguis Street is going to be the main artery going north and south. Now, where are all these people going to be going? Are they going to go on Peguis? And is that going to be congested? The people living on Elmy and Ravelston, if we block off the access to Elmy, I know I am combining the two issues, but is there going to be a light at Reinders and Peguis? Is there going to be lights at Ravelston and Peguis? I mean, with all the traffic going out, and if you're looking at approximately 3,000 cars in that area, all trying to get out onto Peguis so that they can go either onto Reinders or onto Regent, how are we going to be getting out of Elmy or Ravelston? That's a big issue for me. And that was the issue of the lights, where they're going to be. Also, the issue of, like, fire trucks or school buses, how are they going to be moving around in that area and getting into Ravelston and Elmy? My other concern is that there is a breakdown of the minimum lot sizes and maximum building heights for the RMFS, RMFM, RMFL, and RMU. Can somebody tell me what 150 feet is? Is that a 15-story building? Is that a 10-story building? A 13-story building? Because those are apartment blocks. Because in our area where we had DASZ 1111, when the developer withdrew his plan, he had to come back and redo his plan for making those apartment blocks only four stories. And now in reading this, it looks like they're back to being the 150 feet. And that's right next door to the single-family residential areas, which we were opposed to, and it looks like it's been approved. It's not something that we knew about. So if we can do a study, like even if we closed off Elmy on a temporary basis to see how the traffic is going to flow, if you want to do it now for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, if you put through Reinders and close off Elmy to see what impact it's going to have. We need to do this traffic study, which is something that we have not seen anywhere in any of these reports. So I would ask the committee members if they would do a traffic study so that we can see where all these 3,000 plus almost maybe 4,000 with the apartment blocks that are going up there. We're going to have so many cars going in there. What are we going to do? Is it going to be congested? Yes, it will. So I'd like the committee to address that first. Thank you. Any questions?
I get to ask that. Does anybody have any questions?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. But thanks, Christine. Thanks for your patience. I know everybody's tired, and I'm sorry that...
I'm not thinking of myself. I'm thinking of my mom.
Yeah, okay. No, I know what you're saying. I know.
Very valid points.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Mr. Novak. Would you speak? No. Thank you. Stan and Judy Burham. Okay, thank you. Anybody whose name has not been called to wish to speak in opposition? Anybody whose name has not been called to wish to speak in opposition? Okay. We have somebody registered for information. Or sorry, is anybody else's name that's not been called that wishes to speak in opposition? In opposition, that's right, be called. For information. Oh, for information, we have Ted Nestor. You wish to speak? Okay. Anybody whose name that has not been called that wishes to speak or register for information? For information. And yours here on
Oh, this is for item 9, and then this person in opposition to 10, 11, 12, 13, and then...
Okay, this is one of them, right? This is item number 10.
Yeah.
Did you wish to speak in opposition, sir?
No.
Okay. Thank you. We will now call back the applicant, Dave Bowles, and Jerry Klein.
Nothing further to add on this one. Thank you.
Sorry?
Yeah, nothing further to add. That's nothing further to add? Is that?
Well, nothing further to add, or do you have any, do you want to respond to the
concerns
that were brought up by the people in opposition? Do you want to address anything there?
Yep. Nope. Nothing to address. Yep.
Does the Councillor Wadd or Councillor Steen?
Just about the traffic that she was asking about.
Mm-hmm.
The added traffic coming downtown or...
Well, a couple of things on that. I mean, certainly we are vastly improving the roads in the area. The the major roads. We'll be building our share of half of Pegwith Street and all of Ravelston where it passes through our lands. And indeed, the issue of a traffic study. There was a traffic study undertaken as part of the Transcona West Area Structure Plan exercise, and really things haven't changed in this area since then. The Area Structure Plan was adopted 5 years ago in 2008. So there is adequate information to determine that what's being done out there right now will...
The traffic won't hurt what's there now.
Well, the added traffic is being accommodated on a vastly improved road network, right? So, yeah. Yeah, that would be our, our answer.
Just a question that, just on that point, the area structure plan did a traffic study in 2006 based on the assumptions of the development, the full build out in the area, at that time by Yuma or AEC, which is now AECOM, or the other way around.
Correct.
But a traffic study was done and, that's where a lot of the conclusions came from, where the road upgrades have to be and where they don't have to be. So, anyway, okay. I have a number of, just to go through it here, I beg the forgiveness of the committee and the patience of the committee and the gallery. You have brought forward a number of recommendations. You tabled it at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a chance to go through them, and I just want to thank, first of all, the staff for working with me on this item over the last number of weeks. I also want to thank my assistant, Jeremiah Kopp, for working, especially the last week, in terms of these extra hours. And so through this, I want to go through the recommend. I'm going to move amendments to it, but I want to take you through the amendments while you're here. And I'm just going to go through them. I think I gave the clerk a copy, so and I can give you a copy too if you like. Which is that one? VAS said 10. There's 10. You got 10?
I have 10.
You have 10. Okay, good. And while the delegation was talking, I added a few others. But anyway, I'll get to in a minute. So. That aren't in here. So ultimately, the first of all, there's the issue that wasn't touched on in either in the ACG report. I've talked to staff about it, or in your recommendations, which concerns me, which I want addressed. And that is what I'm proposing is that a new clause be added under C agreement conditions. Let me just get what you gave. First of all, I think under A, plan considerations number one, if required, I think it probably will be required. So I'm jumping ahead. In terms of number four, where you request that any cost for oversizing or providing additional works to provide land drainage and stormwater retention capacity to adjacent land shall be recovered by the city and paid to the developer. I think that's our standard practice, I believe, when we do that already, is it not? I mean, we can state it, but we do it already, so I don't have an issue with that. Stop me, gentlemen, if you have any issue or concern. I'm just going to keep talking, okay, going through these, and stop me if there's anything. Under new clause, the city will decommission, I'm adding this, will decommission the snow dump. My concern is that at the Deepwater Pond, you're proposing a housing development right next to a snow dump that we have right now. And I'm saying that prior to the first construction or building permits being issued to private properties that are located adjacent to the deep snow dump, the city, specifically the Department of Water and Waste, will submit new plans for new fencing and new landscaping around the deep pond to the East Kelowna Transconnect community within 6 months of the execution of this development agreement. So this is plenty of time because it probably won't be executed until the end of this year. In the event that the city does not decommission the deep pond snow dump, clean, re-landscape, and fence the site, building permits for the lots adjacent to the snow dump will not be issued, and the city will compensate the developer for lost revenue for the sale of said lands. So there's a bit of a, there's a carrot and a stick here that, you know, I want to make sure that this, we're not selling homes and they're looking up and they see this 30 feet of snow right in the back of the property because, you know, it'll be an issue not for you, but for the city. So, number 10, jumping ahead, I've added to your request, you're asking, this is in terms of the RMU site. We're on north side and south side. I'm saying the developer shall not be required to construct a portion of the streets because this is tied, those streets are tied into the future rapid transit station on the north side and south side of the RMU site in the north, and the north and south public roads leading to the future rapid transit station. Maybe I can give copies to also the councillors, actually. I'm sorry about that, guys. To councillors. Administration.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
How much should we say?
Yeah, yeah. Councillor Steen, Councillor Brody, and sorry, guys. The RMU, the developer shall ensure curb and gutter. So a temporary road that you're not building the road. So at the very least, there should be a curb and gutter installed, constructed at the entrance of these streets that aren't being built, and that should be leveled and sodded in the right-of-ways of those streets that aren't being built. Number 11, I'm saying, recommending here that this is pertaining to the temporary asphalt roadway renders. That as part of the temporary asphalt, a sidewalk on the south side, because there's a sidewalk right now on the south side of Reinders on the other side of the existing Reinders before it loops down by the mall, that on the south side of the temporary road, a three-way, that a sidewalk be constructed and a three-way traffic control signal at Reinders and Peguis be installed. If a permanent concrete road is constructed by others, within one construction season from the execution of the development agreement on Reinders Drive prior to the commencement of works in DAS Ed 1013 planned area, the temporary asphalt roadway, including sidewalk costs, and 50% of the traffic control signal costs will not be required as determined by the Director of Public Works. I'm recommending that Clause 12 in full, which speaks to the furthermore, the developer shall construct suddenly two lanes of Ralston be deleted, and I'm going to pick that up in the next clause. This is in terms of now across the top of your development. You're building two lanes of Ravelstone, ultimately four lanes. However, your development does not continue past the deep pond. That's our land, city land. So this is addressing that, that the developer shall at no expense to the city construct one half of a four-lane divided roadway consisting of two lanes of Portland cement concrete pavement to a width of 8 to 200 millimeters thickness on Ravelstone Avenue West between Peguis Street and the Eastern property line proposed development. So it's basically saying the same thing that you're saying there, approximately 230 meters as determined by the Director of Public Works. It's just clearing up the wording there on the old 12. And the new clause as well is saying after that, the developer shall at no expense to the city construct a two-lane concrete roadway extension of Kildare Avenue West from Plessy Road westward through the lands formerly known of the Public Works Yards and on an alignment agreeable to the city and up to the easterly limit of the planned area of Ralston Avenue West right-of-way. So basically from Kildare, two lanes through our Public Works Yards and up to that land there, which will represent the southerly lanes of Ralston Avenue West. And then a new clause after that, that the city will facilitate the Kildare slash Ravelstone extension, by implementing a development agreement opening for this road within 3 months of the execution of this development agreement. That's just an internal process. And then under new clause, the developer shall enter into a front-end agreement with the City of Winnipeg that will repay the developer for all the costs associated with said works in the above two clauses. Actually, I probably should say the above, above two clauses, plus interest at a rate agreeable to the city within 5 years of said construction work. So basically saying that, yes, you are front-ending this. This is actually a road that we have to construct. The reality is that within 5 years of the work being done, we will pay you back. The front-end agreement will be subject to said works being constructed and completed prior to the issuance of the 51st single-family building permit. We're saying that just simply the fact that I understand that you're starting probably from the south end, going north, and provide greater detail on all terms and conditions of the timing, scope, interest, repayments, and terms to be mutually agreeable by the city and the developer, and to live up to the clear intent of the EKT Community Committee as determined by the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. Number 13, it's clearing up that clause, just simply adding the words, the two easterly lanes of Peguis. So we have another developer who's required to be developing on the westerly two lanes. You'll be developing the easterly two lanes of Peguis, so that's just clearing that up. Clause 15, I just deleted that completely and added this clause, that the new clause, the developer shall at no expense to the city construct a 1.5 meter width 100 millimeter thickness Portland cement sidewalks on the standard alignment, as well as 3.5 meter width asphalt pathways, and that this is attached, this is part of your map that you've given us, this, what's called sidewalk AT schedule, which I've looked at, and I've made some corrections to it because it didn't quite match the map you gave us today, and I've just done a couple of small minor additions. You were missing a connection going out to, and I'm going to pick that up in the wording of the agreement, going out to the future rapid transit and to the existing Transcona Trail for the AT path. I want to make sure that it's understood that there's a connection here on Kildare Avenue, just on the other side of that main intersection, as well as a sidewalk running along your development here where you have townhouses right now, connecting this sidewalk to this sidewalk out of the development. Do you follow me? Can you see where I'm?
Yeah.
Let me hold this one up. This is a little easier to see.
Yeah.
So I'm adding sidewalks. I've added a sidewalk here. I've added a sidewalk here just to square this connection on that.
On the flankage of
the. On the flankage on that, yeah. Can you follow me? So, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody see?
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Probably the reason why you put it at the back because I had time to catch that. So, all right. Because of it being specified here, the original ACG report, which had clauses 16 through to including clause 21, can be deleted because this specifies everything that was previously stated plus what I've done here or drawn here. Because before it was worded. Clause 22, I'm deleting and instead putting in the wording, the developer shall at no expense to the city construct auxiliary lanes, transition, medians, channelization, all related works on Peguis at the vicinity of the intersection with Ravelstone Avenue West and Reindeers as determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. I'm basically leaving that to the director. I understand that the Peguis and Ravelstone, you know, that's going to be a long time intersection, so I want to know that we're doing what we need to do there. Clause 23, deleting it as well, completely replacing it with the developer shall at no expense to the city construct auxiliary lanes, transition, medians, modifications, channelization, all related works at Reindeers and Peguis unless these works are constructed by others again. prior to the commencement of work on DAS at 1013 planned area, with the developer being responsible for 50% still to said works on demand of the by the Director of Public Works and determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. Again, delegating that to the administration, but knowing full well that you're putting in a temporary road, so I think common sense will prevail there. 24, recommending that it be deleted and that the following be installed, that the developer shall pay to the city in cash 40% of the cost. That's a typo. 25% is 40% of the cost of traffic control signals and all related works, including but not necessarily limited to the pedestrian vehicular attenuation and interconnection to the adjacent traffic control signals and audible pedestrian signals at the intersection of Peguis and Ravelstone, with other developers who will be in the area picking up the balance of that cost. Number 25, deleted in full, replaced with the following. The developer shall pay to the city in cash 50% of the cost of the of traffic control signals and related works, including but not necessarily limited to the pedestrian and vehicle attenuation and interconnection to adjacent traffic control signals and audible pedestrian signals in the intersection of Peguis Street and Reinders Drive, unless these works are constructed by others prior to the commencement of work within DASZ 1013 plan area, as determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. I'm adopting your request here, the chain link fence, number 26, where no fence already exists in terms of along the railway subdivision line, because a lot of the fencing was done when we did the active transportation path. 39, I'm jumping to 39. You've made one modification. I've said that basically the wording is adding in the wording, undertake site improvements as well as landscape and construct paths within the public reserve, subject to plan approval by this body, by the East Kelowna Transcona Community Committee. So basically coming back here for approvals on that. Plan number 40 is subject plan approval, East Kelowna Transcona Community Committee. Again, at the end of that clause, in terms of this is the issue with that one public reserve and the south end. Number 41 deleted, and saying that on that new clause be added, that 100% credit shall be granted for linear parks along retention ponds where the slope grade limits multi-use options. I'm saying 100% be granted because, frankly, I don't know how you play a game of soccer on a slope grade. So under 44, we're deleting 43. A lot of that's to do with these. And 45, this irrigation requirement, which is really not happening, and this 100-foot issue with regards to the dedication issue. I'm just taking that right out in terms of that. And the developer shall work collaboratively from 44 with the city in finalizing retention pond configuration and surrounding public reserve, which shall include space to accommodate. I know the public service wanted a soccer field. We're doing that somewhere else in the area. But a dog park in the public reserve, complete with black chain fence to delineate the area, as well as the installation of 50 trees. The size configuration of the dog park shall be done to the satisfaction of the Director of Property, subject to EKT. So this is, our challenge has been with these dog parks. You can't really build a dog park or have a dog park in an existing neighborhood, because it automatically leads to conflicts where folks who don't have dogs don't want the dog park. But where you have a new community that doesn't exist, this would allow us to do that. Number 46, this is the issue with regards to fencing on the backs of your public reserves and along walkways, that you don't get a kind of a wall effect, that a black chain link fencing be the standard, and that a caveat be filed by the city responsibility thereafter by the property owner. New clause, the developer shall pay to the city 50% on demand all costs of the pedestrian corridor half signal, push button activated, which we're using now in different parts of the city, related to works required in boulevard payments, sidewalk works on Peguis at the first public road south of Ravelstone. So that's basically your first road coming out onto Ravelstone. There's a connection there, or onto Peguis, across Peguis to get to the other side where an active transportation path will be built by others, that there be a half signal because there's no traffic light at that intersection. Yes? Sorry.
We haven't done development on the north side. Why would you need that to be? Why would you need that to be a condition for 50% to be completed? Or why would you expect it to be completed before there is any development on the north side?
On the north side of what? No, this is not on Ravelstone. This is on Peguis. Sorry. This is on Peguis. So this is on Peguis at the first public road south of Ravelstone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is on Peguis. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Because there is another walkway on Ravelstone. You're right. A new clause, a developer shall install a 3.5-meter-wide active transportation path that will connect directly to the Transcona Trail. That's picking up that bit that was missed right here. Okay. That section, you had it in your big map, but not in the small map. Do you follow
me? Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
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 I want to add a clause. It's not here. So I'm going to ask the clerk just maybe if she can just note this. That the you have a hydro substation. I understand it's not yours, but I want to ensure that there is a requirement that the fencing for the hydro substation will consist of a higher quality than just chain link and barbed wire across the top, and that it be subject to EKT CC plan approval of this committee. So when the development happens, you're going to have to, yes?
We have an agreement with Hydro.
Okay.
There will be a building, and then the building will be surrounded by a decorative concrete wall.
Okay.
And then around the sub-site, there'll be all kinds of landscaping. They'll be planting all kinds of trees. So when you look at the plan itself, there's a white portion.
Yeah.
That's the portion of the infrastructure, and then around it will be a landscaped buffer all around the entire facility, and that's
The green area, the light green?
Yes, that's their responsibility to landscape.
So the actual fence or the wall is actually going to be that black, which the box?
Yes, we have boxes, correct. And their facility will be within that.
But this is your land, correct?
No.
They own it?
They own it.
Okay, so you have an agreement with them that they're to do this?
As a condition of their purchase that when they install the infrastructure, that's what they will supply.
So, can I get some guidance on this then? Your microphone's not on.
It's on.
You just can't hear me. I know we had talked to Genstar about that, and they'd indicated, so looking at that plan, the white box on there is where the building is. Everything green, from what we understood, is not to have any amenities. It's just going to be landscape, so there was no need to actually fence the property because the building itself would provide the fence. So it just becomes spillover space for the park.
But my image of a hydro substation is one of those places where you get all these massive transformers and you got wires and, you know, it's like, isn't that what it would be? Like this building you're saying, like...
What you've described, my understanding, will be housed in a building.
I see.
And then there will be a concrete block decorative fence, which is the outline of this white box. That's where that fence will be, and the building will be inside that.
What land have you sold to Hydro? What land owns Hydro? Do they own the box, the white
green,
box?
The pale green. Everything within that pale green.
Everything within the pale green. So that's their landscaping.
Yes.
That's their response. Well, then I'm going to move that a copy of that agreement be filed with the city. And in terms of the requirements that Hydro has to, if I don't see there would be an objection with Hydro for the city to be aware of that agreement that you have between Hydro, ensuring that level of landscaping is there. Just, you know, so we have the peace of mind that that's what's going to actually happen. I'm glad to hear that. So I'll move, I'll change my motion to do that. And the walkway, the roadway that's running through here, that's internal to the commercial site?
that's connecting to the hydro, their access?
That's their access. It's an easement, actually, which will provide for cross access between the commercial on either side of that. But that's it's actually an easement.
An easement, okay. Because it doesn't, it's not ideal with a line.
No, actually, it's part of their title, and we have a mutual access easement over it.
I see. So is that where the access point would come out onto Peguis at that point?
Yes.
It would, eh? It's not ideal in terms of the, you know, the offset with the other. So anyway, but I think Councillor Steen had a question.
Yeah, I do. How many residents is planned to be in this area? How many residents are planned to be in this area?
Well, in the area comprised of DAs, 10 of 13. Again, we have 210 single-family. We have estimates, right, based on, and then 20-ish, 21 acres of multifamily, plus the 120 or so potential townhome lots. So you know, you'd be looking at potentially upwards of, you know, a lot of multifamily. That's the thing. This is where we've got a concentration of multifamily. So, I mean, there could be, you know, yeah, several hundred multifamily units in there, but...
You know, the traffic and where the timeline fits with the Louise Bridge and Chief Peguis Trail moving to Route 90, because there'll be more development here, I suspect, in the future. But for now, it might be okay. I'm good.
I'd like to move that also a new clause. Okay, so we've covered the hydro. So I'd like to move that the multiple family, both the multiple family sites designated that you're rezoning here as M and L, medium density and large, and the commercial developments that I think it's covered in the agreement already, but I want to be sure that they'll be subject to plan approval by East Kelowna Transcona Community Committee. So I just want that covered. Right.
Sorry, the
plan approvals will be required. Site plan approvals will be required for mobile family sites and the commercial sites. The mobile family M&L and the commercial, the small townhouses typically we don't bring back just for site plan.
Those zoned RMFS, so you want to remove
all
that.
Right.
We also include the RMU site
okay.
for plan approval as well.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I see here.
So
thank
we
you.
Don't need that last
we don't need it.
No.
Okay. No. And then I'd like to have a clause, I don't know if you built that in already, Mike, in terms of that the commercial site will not, mobile signs will not be permitted.
Yes, that's already in there.
Is it in
the
there?
C2 and the RMU zoned properties.
C2 and RMU. Okay, good. All right. So I'd like to amend the planner's recommendations to under 2A, 2, that the fencing... Continuous fencing for properties backing onto park space and trails, that it be amended to say black chain link fencing. And in terms of, because you have then, you know, we don't have the galvanized fencing, which is subject to rusting. And then within 10 feet of the residential property line of the satisfaction of the director of public, I want to add in the words satisfaction here. Plan approval of EKTCC as well. And as well under item 3, 2-3, that also in terms of the signage requirements here, location design be submitted to the Director of Planning and Property Development for approval and to the East Kelowna Transcona Community Committee for approval. And those are the amendments that I have in terms of this matter.
That's
Could I just read that one for the ACG, the new one at the end, that a copy of the agreement with Hydro and Genstar in terms of the lands for the substation and required landscaping and decorative wall be filed with the city.
Right. Okay. And you have a copy of the with the changes?
You gave me a copy of all.
And then this extension to their Rattlestone.
Extension.
Till their Avenue / Rattlestone extension, right? So it's clear.
Then on item number 10, are we going to, the applicant is still here?
Yeah, the applicant is still here. I just have one question. I guess looking at your proposed development, thank you, Mr. Chairman, looking at your proposed development, you have the RMFL, your one large site. You have down, and I understand this, you have it down kind of backing onto the park. Is that why you have it there? Because it's on the park side? Versus, like, I'm looking at the RMFL maybe up towards the public road, the first public road south of Ravelstone, because of the fact that, you don't have anybody across the street from you there right now, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, like on the end of Elmy there, you have two single-family homes. They're not here tonight, but and I guess if they were, they would have spoken. If they were, maybe they are here. But you have one in particular, one's kitty corner kind of thing to this new public road connecting where Elmy is, and the other is. Why not flip it? Like I know we can't today upgrade up zone, right? You'd have to re-advertise. Correct, if I'm not mistaken, if we were to move it to the one to the other, we could downzone from the RMFL to RFMM. We can do that, and then you could later on come back and do the RMFL either on the south side or the north side of that first public road south of Ravelstone.
Do you want to go ahead, Jerry?
I'll weigh in a bit. Our expectation, which might address some of the concerns about how much, how many units are going to be built here, our expectation is that all the units that are shown on the plan in brown, these four parcels, will most likely achieve four-story product. And that would be in keeping with backing on to the townhomes, so it's not too high and ominous for those homes backing onto it. And then the site that's south of that first road, backing onto the park, we envision that probably going to six stories. I doubt it'll go any higher than that. I don't know what the market for sure is, but that's what our feedback is. And so having a six-story building backing onto the park wouldn't be a negative to anybody living adjacent to it, and so that's the logic that I think we conceive.
Well, I mean, the assurance I have is that, and we confirmed this now with the planner, that the RMF sites will be subject to plan approval, which includes also the siting of the building and the footprint of the building, because I would push that building as far into that corner as possible, being towards the substation, right, and towards the commercial site. If you're going to have your parking, you'd have it out front towards the Elmy.
For all of these sites, they will be pushed closer to Peguas, and any parking would be on the east side of the buildings. So that
I'm doing it the opposite in this case with this one. So that the RMFL site, right? I'm pushing the building towards the park, right? Because there's nobody other than the dogs in the park, right? So, okay. But I know that we have that would be required to come back for plan approval and the location of the building, so that could be, there's a safeguard in place there. So there's a peace of mind that I have. I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you was in the clauses, in terms of it does require that temporary reindeers, which is coming up. We have another matter with regards to the Elmy closing, which is tied to this, and reindeers being the connection and why it's crucial. Based on your knowledge in terms of if the approval goes forward tonight and then goes to standing committee, assuming it goes to standing committee and then goes from standing committee to council in July, and then you get an development agreement executed by the city to you, when would you be constructing and when would the build-out occur in terms of Reindeer's? And being realistically and knowing that we're being recorded here.
Yeah, realistically at this point it'll be next year. Okay. We'd get right on it as soon as we could in the construction season next year for construction of a road, yeah. So
it would be built in the 2014 construction season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair to say. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't have anything else, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
I have one more question or issue.
Sure.
Going back to your clause on the front-ending agreement.
Yes.
Where you suggest you'd like it completed by the 51st single-family building permit.
Correct.
Can we have a little more room for maneuver on that? Maybe make it 100 units?
What is your development at? How many houses, units again? 250?
200. 200 single families.
Two single family, and this is based on some issues of the. How about 99? Lucky 99.
Sure.
Okay. 99, yeah. Okay. Pertaining to.
Item number 30, or number 39, just for better clarification of the wording, what they're required under the parameters is grade level sod land drainage and irrigation. We don't have to put all that in. We can just say undertake site improvements per the development agreement parameters, and that'll alleviate their concerns.
Actually, I got this wording from clauses that I got from the public service other agreements.
Okay.
So I'm taking your wording from the next two agreements. These weren't.
Yep.
I was reading them, and I said, well, this agreement says this, but this agreement doesn't say this. So I said, you know what? Let's just put it in all there to say so it's all the same.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't have a hard copy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
And no. I just wanted to comment on the partial dedication. I thought I should at least explain why we were recommending it. The area around the retention pond isn't necessarily something we would have ideally asked for. It's not. Doesn't provide a lot of multi-use opportunities. It's about 7.5 acres of land, most of which is sloped towards retention pond. Doesn't have a lot of frontage. The only usable space is where we propose a soccer field. And the only reason we propose that is we anticipate the field adjacent to the school is going to be inundated by school children for most of the time. There's only room for one field there. And we know that the community center was asking for additional field space. So. One of the reasons we're asking for partial dedication, therefore, was because the land isn't fully functioning park space, we would have configured it completely different. And we know that the developer wants to work with us to try and make it more usable. That was the rationale. Okay. And for the frontage, same reason. We've got excess frontage that could cost the city quite a bit of money, or we're not getting the benefit of where we'd normally get some compensation for. We would normally pay excess frontage. If they're getting that as credit, then we're sort of netting out zero for a frontage area that we didn't, again, necessarily require. It's really frontage to accommodate the retention pond. That was my only comment.
Okay. That's fair enough. And before you stand down, thank you. Thanks, Donna. Before you stand down, you have two other applications coming forward. We're reading the record. We're not going to discuss them, but it is your full intent to proceed with those applications, execute them in the timely manner that we would expect that to occur, like if this community committee goes forward.
Obviously we have a phase-in plan, right, that will
right.
work from, that generally moves from the south to the north, but
right.
But yeah, that's our intention is to we'll get going as soon as we can. And,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're showing AT path along the east edge of this development, but it wasn't on their plan, so I'm just wondering how they're going to accommodate that.
A what plan?
An AT path along the north, running north-south along the east limit of the development, but it wasn't in their...
I got it here, yeah. I see the one, yeah. She's talking about the one along the deep pond.
We provided these based on what the area structure plan shows. There is
and the decommissioning of the snow dump would facilitate that, I would assume, would it not?
With water and waste, I don't know if lands will be available. It wasn't shown on their development plan, so no Frank here.
Oh, sorry, who's that?
It wasn't shown on the development plan, so I didn't know if we needed to add that as a plan consideration. And the only other thing I wanted to add was it's a long stretch that may very well have fencing on both sides, which in a new subdivision, in all those cases, we've asked for an intermediate access point so nobody feels trapped in behind fences. So we would ask for a secondary path approximately 6 meters wide running approximate midpoint out to the road, the residential road on the west side, if that's going in.
So you would ask for a connection in the middle of the block kind of thing?
Yeah, somewhere around here.
Yeah. Thoughts?
How long that is, really. I mean, at the transit station, it's going to be there.
It measuring from where to where, 1,200 feet, from the bottom to the top, or from the top of the transit station, which is really the parking lot, which is being used now by the casino.
I was measuring from the back lane to the street, so wherever the next point of access might be.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's pretty close to the top of that parking lot then, yeah.
And we've usually said for about every 400 feet, but this is a little bit longer, but it would at least provide some secondary means if someone felt compromised in that area, so just from a safety perspective. I'm just wondering if we need a plan consideration that says if that AT path is going in, that there has to be a allocated space, or if it's anticipated that that'll just go in the deep pond land.
It wasn't required before, so I don't see why now all of a sudden.
I mean, it would be equivalent to the accesses that are displayed in the other, like that's the size that you'd be looking at, right, in terms of the walk, how wide of a walkway? 6 meters, okay.
That gives enough room for multi-use path and land drainage.
Right, okay. So basically kind of almost like halfway kind of thing here, 6 meters. So like so kind of.
Oh, so, yeah, 6 meters, I was talking both north, south, and, yeah.
No, but the connection.
Yes.
What would be the connection size?
6 meters.
6 meters. Well, keeping in mind that this pathway is, we're going to have to work in cooperation with water and waste to salvage it, which they're not going to have their deep pond anymore, or their snow dome. But that's basically what Ms. Beaton's referring to.
Yeah, so understood. Yeah.
Okay, I'll move that amendment then as well.
So I'll need clarification of where that amendment is to go. That 6 meter.
It's a connection off of the north-south active transportation path that runs on the easterly side of the development, connecting through to the first north-south road in phase one on the easterly side of the development, and approximately, how many meters did you say it was?
6 meters?
No. And what was the mid? How long is that point?
About 500, 600 feet.
So approximately 250 meters south of Kildare Avenue/Ravelston Avenue West. walkway will be granted.
Okay, and for this
a 6 meter wide walkway.
And right. this would be recommendation under,
because it's modifying the plan.
Yes.
Under
the
ACG.
Yeah, under plan. The
ACG and
under
just
section C.
A.
Under
section item A.
Section A.
Section A.
Yeah.
Section A. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Wondering if we could do 3 meters instead, which is often used for public walkways.
I know it's the other application. What size are those?
Well, those are a little wider, but again, they're planned as part of those are I believe are 6 meters, but they're planned as part of the overall fabric. In fact, it was city administration that was encouraging us to reduce those.
Right.
To 10 feet or 3 meters. It just reduces the front footage loss.
4.5 meters.
4.5 meters.
Okay.
All right.
4.5.
4.5 meter wide connection.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is
okay.
What's 4.5?
Instead of 6, he wanted 3. I'm saying 4.5. So you have your connection to get out.
That may not give us enough room for land drainage. That's all.
Would not give you enough room for land drainage.
Can we just clarify, are we talking about the property required?
I'm talking about the property to connect through to
okay.
I'm talking about this connection here.
Okay, so if a path is going to be built in there, then
yep.
what dimension would the path be? We have to clarify the property dimension and the...
You're saying 6 meters.
6 meters of property width.
Right.
3 meter path.
I see. Well, I think we're referring to property first and foremost, so you're saying the land drainage has to be a minimum of 6 meters for the purpose of land drainage?
We just know that gives enough of an offset that you can put in land drainage and you're not in someone's side yard.
I see.
You're not right up against. So that's why our standard paths have been
okay.
6 meters.
Okay. I've taken your advice. Thanks. And, okay.
How many meters?
I'll do it when I do the motion. So, yeah, land then. So, okay. Just to make sure. Okay. I don't have any other questions. I've gone through the changes and we'll go from there. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I pulled out the page. I can't find it. Okay. I'm going to move that the report of the public service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye. I'm going to move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?